2 to tie. Michigan would have to bring it.
Oh, he walked. He walked and the referee missed it.
Weber brings it into the front court. They have no timeouts remaining.
Oh, he crosses too many timeouts. That's a technical foul.
He called a timeout. Michigan doesn't have any.
He got by with a walk, and Jimmy calls a technical. He calls a timeout. He doesn't realize that's Michigan's too many, and so it'll be a technical foul. North Carolina shooting and
no timeouts. It's week 7 of the NFL season. You know, we're back with the usual crew. Kyrie, Pope, we're here giving out some locks, some picks, and if we have some time, going to decide who's getting fired first out of these coaches. But we'll see if we get to that. We'll see, you know, what the vibe is. But how y'all doing?
I'm all right, man. I'm not doing too well in my fantasy leagues. I'm not doing as well as I thought I would. Could be worse, could be better, you know. Ravens won. That's always cool, I guess.
I've got one league that my team is just fucking stacked. I'm not gonna like go through my whole roster, but just know in a 12-person league, I have Amon-Ra St. Brown, Keenan Allen, and Devontae Adams.
Yeah, okay.
And I drafted all of them with TJ Hockenson at tight end, Justin Herbert quarterback, Pacheco Swift at running back. Like, you know, team is stacked. We're going for gold this year.
Yeah, that's insane.
All those people drafted. I haven't made one trade.
I'm in 2-4 in one of my leagues. I have Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs, and Debo Samuel. I thought that would be enough.
Debo's whack.
Yeah, he is. He really is.
He's cooked. He got his money. It's hard to get certain guys after they get money. Like, if he got his big payday and completely just started sandbagging it.
Well, yeah, and then sandbagging it, he just been, you know, he's breaking down like a running back. He's a receiver, but he's really a running back.
I was gonna say his role kind of got given away. Like once CMC kind of showed up, the Debo show was over.
I mean, yeah, he's not like a real, prototypical receiver. Ayuk
is more for Purdy last pod, now we just saw what happened.
What do you mean? He went against the top three defense. The weather was bad. You know, it's fine. It's one game. It's one game. And when it mattered most, he drove them down the field. They should have won that game. It was, you know, bad kick by the kicker.
Yeah, they should have. It would have won me my pick. So I went 0-2 last week. I did take the Niners at 4.5. And I
told you to take the Browns. Same line.
We were flip-flopping. I did listen back to the pod. We were both flip-flopping. You did give me advice that, hey, Cleveland is sneaky. Watch out for them. But
so I'm saying,
after the news of the P.J. Walker, I was
Deshaun Watson sucks. It's fine. P.J. Walker just as
good. So they're all the same. It really doesn't matter which practice. Throw Josh Johnson back there. They might
win. I mean, facts. They put Josh Dobbs back there to be the same team.
So in that vein, I'm ready to get my picks off just because I need to get some quick wins. So I'm going to go ahead and start off with my lock of the week, and I'm going to keep it short and simple. I got Seattle over Arizona. It's an 8-point spread right now. I need Seattle to click. Right now I'm seeing a lot of their games go one way or the other. Either the defense is having a good game, offense is having a good game. It's not really both happening at the same time. I think this week they kind of get that back on track and jumpstart San Fran's. Jumpstart Arizona's like losing to continue.
That's true. Arizona's tanking.
I kind of hope that is true, Bo, because I picked up Seattle's defense in one of my leagues, so I kind of need them to ball out. I would appreciate that. If we're just going on our locks, I'm going with a relatively easy one, in my opinion. I'm going with the Chiefs at home over the Chargers. It's a 5.5-point spread. I think the Chargers are coming off a pretty heartbreaking loss from the other night, last night, to be exact. I think their defense has proven to be pretty pedestrian despite, you know, the big names that they have. Joey Bosa is kind of just skating on his last name at this point. To me, he's been kind of mid for the last few seasons, in my opinion. I think although the Chiefs don't really have that number one receiver, I think that Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce will be enough to, I mean, at least win by a touchdown. So, and they're at home. They don't lose at home. It's going to be a pretty lopsided game.
Fair. Yeah, shout out to the Chargers. They bet on the Cowboys, won $500 Monday. Good times.
Have a good bread.
Yeah, man. Was never worried, even though the Cowboys should have killed them. They were destroying them all game, but they're just idiots. That'll be the last time I ever bet on the Cowboys. Yeah, I'm not gonna have them. No, that'll never happen again. But yeah, good job to the Chargers. I don't know, something is about them. I don't know if it's Justin Herbert or just a team. I mean, probably a coach, but something about them is always like, they should be better than they are. But we've been saying this for what, 3 years, 4 years now.
Yeah, it sounds like another team
only got there.
So yeah, I don't know about them. All right, so my lock. I'm gonna go against what I normally say when I say don't bet on the road favorite. But there are six teams on a bye. There's less games. Got to be, you know, a little bit more in the weeds with these, you know, if it just had less options, less games. So I'm going to just fade the tanking team. I'm going to go with the Packers on the road, coming off the bye week in Denver. I mean, it's very clear to me that Denver is trying to tank. You know, it's that clear. Pope, this is everything you've ever wanted. This is what's happening right now. Oh, 1,000%. 1,000. No, I mean, no. Well, I think that they knew, they found out that they were terrible about 3 weeks in. And then now they're trying to tank because it just doesn't make.
No players know that yet.
Well, Sean Payton knows it. Sean Payton knows it, and that's enough.
The GM enough started getting rid of the expensive guys, starting with Randy.
Yeah, Kirk. They're starting to trade people off and put people.
That's
off.
What I'm saying. Like it's already in motion. Like,
but this is the week. This is the last because after this, you're pretty much coming up on trade deadline. So after this game is played, this is when we're going to see the fire sales happen on a lot of teams.
Oh, for sure. But the players, they already sense the vibe. If you're in that locker room and you see two guys with those pedigrees just leave for nothing, you know what time. You know the vibe. Like, everyone in there knows the vibe. And between that and Russell Wilson, like Jesus. That's just – I just know that that locker room is just a breeding ground for losing right now.
I mean, Jerry Jeudy having sideline antics with Steve Smith.
And then went out and caught three balls for 14 yards. Like, I'm just like, saying. Jesus. Like, just shameless.
Away from the team the other day. He was completely away from them instead of, like, with them on the sideline and everything.
You do all that yelling and try and do all that stuff to Steve Smith for calling you average. And you go out there and put 14 yards up.
Did you see the passive-aggressive drive by Russ at the end when the game was out of hand? And he just started running for like 6 yards at a time, like not even looking at who to throw the ball to. He was just hiking the ball and saying, I'm going to get positive yardage, and just ran the ball like six or seven straight times.
Yeah, he's super cooked.
Passive aggressiveness. I love pettiness.
I don't think he's like, you know, bottom five quarterback in the league or anything, but he's cooked. He's a game manager. He can't run around and make plays how he wants to. He doesn't have that elusiveness anymore. But he still can throw it decently accurate. Like, I've seen – there's much worse quarterbacks. Like, I take Russell Wilson on, like, the Steelers, for example, or shit, maybe the Bucks. Like, there's a few teams that could use him, the Falcons. So when they release him after this year, he'll find his way and kind of make a little comeback, I think. But for this year, against this team, I expect Aaron Jones to come back, you know, healthy off the bye. He almost played the game before. Even if they have A.J. Dillon, I think A.J. Dillon
– he did play the game team. Before.
Yeah, well, it was
only took like one or two snaps, and then instantly was like, "Yeah, it's still not ready."
Yeah, exactly. So coming off the bye, I think they'll be healthy. Christian Watson, he was injured first couple of weeks. He's getting back acclimated. I think the Packers coach is solid. You know, I think he can cook up something well. So,
what's the line on that game?
One Packers by one. Okay, which is crazy. Which is crazy. Just basically pick them to win.
Yep.
I just don't see how the Packers lose this game. I just don't see it. It's just – I don't see it. So that's my pick.
Not mad at that.
Well, I guess I'll get the upset started now that we got the locks in. My upset is going to be – I like the Falcons. I like the Falcons this week over Tampa. Baker Mayfield had his arm immobilized after that Lions game. He can beat bad teams. He just can't beat good ones. And I think the Falcons right now are playing a little bit more desperate than Tampa. They wanted a little more.
Well, I know who doesn't want it. Desmond Ridder. He's fucking awful.
Oh, he's trash. But what I do like about Atlanta is how they're rallying around each other, because they do have a lot of talent on that team, but when the quarterback is that bad, it's just hard to actually see the talent that you have. So
Yeah, and
divisional
also,
game,
I'm
and
also not an
they're
Arthur Smith guy. I'm a little out on Arthur Smith.
I don't mind Arthur Smith. I think he's cooking up with the wrong quarterbacks in general, right? He's had Ryan Tannehill to Matt Ryan to Marcus Mariota to now Desmond Ridder. Like, you pick which one of those quarterbacks out of that bunch is like any type of mid, right? They can't even get to mid at that point. So I like Bijan. I like Tyler Allgeier. I like the rest of their team, their skill positions. Their defense is plucky. They don't really have too many names on it, but they're very plucky. And I think that, Atlanta always gives Tampa problems. Even when we had Tom Brady, they still gave us problems with bad quarterbacks. So I like the upset there. I think it'll be a divisional game. I try to stay away from those, but I think it'll be a hard-fought game that Atlanta ends up winning.
Speaking of Atlanta, Kyle Pitts had a touchdown last game. Did we bet on him getting another touchdown? Are we
No,
feeling it? Is he getting in the groove?
not against Tampa.
Not
Yeah,
against Tampa.
I'm not betting on. That's a donation. Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
Yeah, Tampa has two of the better linebackers in the league. It's one thing we do have. If anything, Drake London is going to absolutely cook these corners.
speaking of corners getting cooked, I'm going to go ahead into my upset. And I'm going with the Dolphins beating the Eagles in Philadelphia. I think Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle are going to go crazy. I think even Chosen Anderson might get a couple yards in there here and there. The Eagles have a really good front seven, but they don't have a secondary. Their corners are hurt. I just think the receivers are going to have a field day. I think Tua should have a pretty accurate game. I just don't see it being it should be a good game though. It's a prime time game,
In
but
Philly.
in Philly, I don't know. I just don't see their secondary. I've watched their secondary a lot. It seems like Jalen Hurts and AJ Brown, they can't seem to get on the same page a lot of the time. I don't know where, if Jalen is making bad throws, if they're not on the same page in terms of the routes that are being ran, but I don't see I kind of see the Eagles losing another game two in a row. So I'm going with the Dolphins being the Eagles.
Yeah, I will ride on that one heavy if the rookie Jalen Carter ends up not playing again. Then I will, like, that's the type of game I'll have to like really hammer the Dolphins if Jalen Carter doesn't play, because I think he actually makes a very big difference to that
Yeah.
front seven, which, like you said, the corners safeties are already not that strong. So if you're taking away from the strength of the team, the Dolphins might be able to run a little better. Tua might have more time, et cetera. Like, if Jalen Carter's not there, count me in on that one. So that's a good pick. We'll see. We're recording this on a Tuesday, so we'll see if he ends up playing.
Yeah.
Still questionable. That's looking
And
like
the
from
change for
his
the
injury.
Dolphins, he's hurt as well, but I think Raheem Mostert's been having a good season. He's
Yeah,
been getting.
Mostert's there. Wilson Jr. is supposed to be coming back. Like, and that system is a little plug and play at running back, I feel like,
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any other team that Mostert could go on and be this good, you know.
Well, he was pretty good on the Niners, though.
I mean, yeah, it
Not
was the same,
that
like the same
he's.
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the same coach. Yeah, that's my point.
Dolphins did lose Xavien Howard, looks like, to a groin at the end of the game at Carolina last week. So we'll see if he's able to be out there. So we could have two hurt secondary. So bang the over on points.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. The Dolphins defense isn't great. So that's definitely a toss up. But like I said, on this kind of weak, it was hard to find some upsets, I feel like. So I don't mind that pick. So, all right, I'm gonna go. I was very tempted to take the Colts here, I will say, but I'm just not putting any faith in Gardner Minshew, especially not against the Browns defense. I do think the Colts, like, if you take the quarterback out of the equation, they are comparable at home. They could win, but no, I just if Anthony Richardson was there, it'd be a different combo. But I was tempted. I was tempted, but I'm going to go with another home team, and I'm also going to go with a division game. It's a little wonky, but it's I feel like the best option on the board. I'm going to go with the New York Giants over the Commanders. I think the Commanders are fraudulent. I don't that 3-3 is about as fraudulent as the Raiders 3-3. The Giants showed me something with Tyrod.
I think Tyrod's
Saquon's back. I think he looked. He looked. The offensive line is still terrible, and that's going to be a problem regardless of who they play. But Tyrod looked like he wasn't like he was fine. Like he wasn't a big drop off. Maybe even equivalent to what Daniel Jones has been doing so far this year. He made some plays with his leg, et cetera. Saquon's back. Their defense actually looked good. And even though the Commanders won against the Falcons, I actually watched a lot of that game. And they got, in my opinion, really outplayed when you look at the fact that the Falcons had 25 first downs to the Commanders' 13 first downs. They doubled the Commanders in yards, 400 yards. The Commanders only had 193 yards. The Falcons are just, they have Desmond Ridder, who turned the ball over. He threw three interceptions, and they took advantage of that. I don't think Tyrod Taylor is going to throw three interceptions. I think the Giants can be able to, to control the game, similar to how the Falcons did with running the ball, except they won't have three interceptions. And I think that, they'll be able to hold the Commanders on the other side on defense. Sam Howell, I'm not quite sold. He's okay. But I think he could be due for a bad game.
That's how I look at him. He's essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's on the road in a division game. The Giants theoretically are, fighting for their life at 1-5. Like if they lose another game, you can probably wrap this season up. They know that. This line's only 2. Vegas is clearly giving the Giants a shot here. So I'm gonna ride with the Giants.
I think I want to ride that bet with you. That might be a sneaky one that I just throw on the table. You bring up a great point about the fraudulent 3-3 on the Commanders. You're looking at 1-score wins against the Cardinals, Broncos, and Falcons.
Right, literally 2 wins against the 2 worst teams, the 2 teams that are the top 2 tank candidates,
and lost against the Bears, who right
got
now
killed
is,
by the Bears
is the worst team in the league, just about. So,
oh yeah,
I mean, it doesn't get as fraudulent as that, right? It's clear. I think that is actually a pretty good game, and we may have some weather coming in too, so ball may stay on the ground, which doesn't help the Commanders because Saquon can actually run that thing.
So,
yeah, that's true. So I mean, it's gonna be it's definitely a 50-50 game. But if you're picking an upset with the home team, I'll take the 50-50 odds. With you could make a case that Tyrod is better than Sam Howell. I think you could at least make that case.
I'm not mad at that. I don't disagree. Like I said, I think when I was watching Tyrod the other night, he looked more comfortable than Daniel Jones has to me all season. I mean, he was able to – obviously, he has a different playbook coming in as a backup quarterback, but he was getting the ball off decisively, like you said. He was making plays with his legs. I mean, he even threw the ball a deep shot to Slayton. I haven't seen Daniel Jones do that all season, so.
Yeah, just that one play at the end of the first half where they didn't have the timeout and they ran – like, that was bad.
Yeah, I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know if that's all on Tyrod, but that was bad, regardless of what happens.
Yeah. But, it's just like you said, he's competent. And I think he's able to, at minimum, be a game manager at, his height. He might win you a game or two throughout the season. So, we'll see.
Yeah, I just think that he won't lose in the game. And I think the Falcons, as a team, outplay the Commanders. But their quarterback lost him the game. So I don't think Tyrod would do that. So that was my biggest reason.
Yeah.
So speaking of 1-5 teams, we'll shift gears quickly because we talked a little bit last week about these coaches. We have yet to hear of a coach really in super hot water. I did see that Frank Reich gave up the offensive play calling duties this week. The Panthers being 0-6 and also not having their pick, which is crazy. Crazy that they don't have like protected first round picks in the NFL. It's just like, well, if you had the number one pick, you just gave the number one pick. I don't know if you guys had any thoughts on any coaches that you saw particularly on the hot seat.
I think there's a few coaches. I mean, to me, more than a lot of years recently, it seems like there are a lot of bad teams in the NFL. And not only that, there are teams that are bad, from season to season. I mean, you look at the Patriots, obviously they're not going to fire Bill Belichick in the middle of the season, maybe not even at all. But, I think that's somebody who's on the hot seat. If I were to go with one, though, I'm going with Brandon Staley on the Chargers. I think the Chargers have been underperforming for as long as he's been there. I think they have too much talent to constantly lose these close games. I know that's kind of ironic coming from a Ravens fan, but I just think like if they lose one or two more games this season, I think they're going to just try to see if they could promote someone internally and kind of salvage the season. I mean, he's constantly poor with time management. I just don't see it. I think Justin Herbert is too talented to just be in this situation. So I'm going to go with Brandon Staley.
All right. I don't think that's a bad pick. Not at all. I
I
think
think I
he's
know
gone
you.
almost regardless, bro. Like I don't foresee a world where the Chargers make some like crazy deep playoff run and they just have a lot of talent and they're expensive. So once you have the talent, especially the young talent, and you start rising the checkbook up and you're not getting anything out of it, I think you're a clear candidate to get cut. One of the coaches, I think, obviously Riverboat Ron, new ownership. I think they were giving him a trial year and they want to pick their own guy. So I think he's going to be gone. But for as far as a coach that's going to be fired in season, I think it's got to be Matt Eberflus with Chicago. Like they came into this offseason with the most cap space in the entire NFL. They spent a quite a lot of it. They got him DJ Moore. You're supposed to have a coach that can help develop Justin Fields, and it feels like Justin Fields is so erratic, taking a step back, if you will, not living up to his potential. And now we're seeing him in trade rumors, and he may be out for the next 1 to 4 weeks with the injury. So I think they're going to pack it in. I think they're going to clean house coach and GM, and I think Eberflus gets the hook first.
I'm not mad at that at all. I mean, that's like I said, there are quite a few bad teams this season and a few coaches that could be on the hot seat.
Yeah, I just don't like even thinking about Chicago. They could potentially have the top two picks in the draft. So having a coach that you already don't like, a GM that overspent and your team is still 1-5 to start off the year, I don't see any responsible organization handing that back to Matt Eberflus and saying, here's two of the most, top picks in the NFL and even more cash. Fix us, right? Like, I don't see that happening. They're getting rid of them.
Clean shop while you can.
Yep. They're getting rid of them. Clean house. Just while we were talking, I looked up first head coach fired odds. Any guesses to who's the top three?
Always say Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, so
Oliver
yeah.
and Staley.
So that's your top three?
Well, that's what I assume based on Pope's list into who we think.
Fair,
And
fair, fair.
Ronnie, who do you think is a coach on that hot seat before I reveal who the odds Vegas tells us it's going to be?
Okay, fair. Well, I'll tell you one thing. There's a couple of coaches that should be on the hot seat, but history and whatever you want to call it, ageism or will not allow it to happen, and that is Bill Belichick and Sean Payton, just two guys who are clearly washed. Clearly, the game has passed them to some degree. I mean, Bill Belichick has his fucking son on the defensive coaching staff. Like, just give me a break. He's got his legacy. Sean Payton obviously has a new contract and a Super Bowl as well. So they get more slack than they probably should, or more slack than a lot of the coaches would. So I'm gonna go with another coach that similarly is in a first year situation, but they're just god awful, and it's Frank Reich. Like he is just a fraud, and there's just really all there is to it. Like he was the problem in Indianapolis. I mean, yeah, I mean he wanted he thought Carson Wentz was good. Like I can't underestimate enough how awful it is for you to be the catalyst for a team trading a first round pick for Carson Wentz. And then to come back the next year and say it's a good idea to then trade for Matt Ryan. Like these are influenced by a coach in some way. And clearly, I don't know. I don't I there were reports that he liked CJ Stroud, and you know, shit, if I was the owner, I probably would have went to, I would have probably faded his opinion too. So, you know, it, but either way, the Panthers are just very bad. I mean, they were up 14-0 on the Dolphins and then still lost by 21. It just is, they're just bad all around. Like, there's just nothing.
They're inspiring. Bad. You know,
like just every facet, like the only person, yeah, just top to bottom. The only person who's doing anything is Adam Thielen. Just all garbage time 10-yard catches. Like, he's basically garbage time Cooper Kupp.
And they're all crossing routes.
Yeah, it's just all the same shit. They're like, he's just like he's like white 2018 Michael Thomas.
It's disgusting.
And that's all Bryce Young can throw. It's just like those quick little,
and they just like, don't have an identity, man. Like, and this may have been the problem with the Colts too. Like, a Frank Reich led team, I just don't see an actual identity. And they don't have the players that could be that identity, like how Ray Lewis was with Baltimore, where it didn't matter who the coach was, whether it was Brian Billick or whether it was Harbaugh, right? You ran through Ray Lewis, like, he was the identity. They don't have any of those type of playmakers that could just literally become none. That identity.
No one close.
Yeah, not even a little bit. So it's hard, but no, that's a good pick. I want, as a Tampa fan, I want Frank Reich to stay because Carolina looks very beatable.
He just got signed, so I mean, that's always a little tougher, but Tepper, sometimes you just might have to cut your losses.
The owner Tepper, he's got new money, man, and he's been in the NFL a long time, so
it doesn't cut against the cap. You know, if the owner wants to eat it, he can get eight.
Yep. He's a results guy. You're a name, you're a number on a spreadsheet to him. He doesn't do the personal relationship thing. He's very like result oriented. Vegas currently has the top head coaches or the first NFL head coach to be fired odds. Ron Rivera leads the bunch at -200. Next up is Josh McDaniels and then Matt Eberflus.
Ah, Josh McDaniels. I'm not mad at that one either. He's terrible. I mean, he's about to be back with Patriots. He'll be back calling plays in New England sooner than we think. So
it'll be a fisticuffs between him and Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien is, you know, he's back and, you know, Bill Belichick's first protege, if you will. So we'll see how that ends up. But yeah, other names on the list rounding it out: Kevin O'Connell with the Vikings, Brandon Staley with the Chargers, Mike Vrabel with the Titans, Kevin Stefanski with the Browns, and Dennis Allen with the Saints.
Saints have been nice.
I'm not mad at that. Like I said, that's a lot of coaches, man.
Yeah, and that's your top eight. So those were odds as of those came out Saturday, right before Sunday's game. So after this past week's games, it looks like they'll probably be updated, and Brandon Staley easily moves up.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, they lose one or two more, man, I think he's out of there. I think they cut their losses right here. See if they could just promote somebody internally. Maybe who's their offensive coordinator?
Kellen Moore. They took
Kellen Moore. That's Dallas. What I thought. You probably don't want Kellen Moore though. I don't know,
was the hotshot OC, right? He was the biggest OC hire this year from the coaching cycle.
Has it been great?
No, not at all. They have missed Eckler for like majority of the season.
Mike Williams.
Well, he ain't coming back.
Yeah. You got to adjust for that, I guess. But, you know.
Yeah, he better be prepared to go to Chicago.
Yeah, that rookie they drafted is looking not great.
Gwen also looks terrible. They've compared him to Jalen Reagor already.
Yeah. He was picked in front of directly in front of Zay Flowers, right?
No, Jordan Addison.
And then Zay Flowers.
Yep. So, I mean, that's even worse, right? It's two of them that you could have had. I mean, Tank Dell, Josh Downs. Josh Downs looks good, too. But Tank Dell looks good. There's some good guys in this class, man. Hate the whiff on it. But, hey, Rodney, take us out, man. I think that's it. We got you guys some good locks, some good upsets of the week. Make sure we bet that. I have tracked them all, and I'll give you guys an update next pod on how we stand.
Yes, we need to do that. So, yeah, 2-0 for me last week, and keep the ball rolling. Thank y'all for coming on. Yes, good chatting with y'all. on to until week 8.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.